I don't see any circumstances where the Iranians would be reaching out, because remember, they have ruled out a ceasefire. They insist, sort of like the Russians do in Ukraine, that this has to be a comprehensive deal, but they face the same problem, that any deal they make with the United States is likely to be another deception, a bunch of commitments that will not be kept by the U.S. side. So I don't know that they would put much stock in that. The other thing, the first thing occurs to me when I hear this, Daniel, is when was the last time the Iranians thought they were making progress on a negotiation with the United States? It was on February 28th when we attacked them. Let's remember, you know, Trump announced at the beginning of the weekend that he was going to give them 48 hours to reopen the strait, or we're going to pound the stuffing out of them. And then he pulled back from that. Frankly, I don't think he had any intention of following through with that. Instead, he comes out with his five-day extension now, aside from any profit taking that went on during that time. I think he's probably setting them up for some sort of another escalation, another attack, maybe something on the ground. We've been talking last few days about the assembly of this Marine Expeditionary Unit in the region and what their possible target might be. Frankly, my first thought when I heard this, this is another deception. This is another attempt to try to lull the Iranians. I don't think it's going to work, but lull the Iranians into a sense that, oh, we can talk now. We can negotiate about the fundamental question of this war, not just the ceasefire. Frankly, I don't think this is in good faith from the U.S. side. I think it's another setup. That's the first thing that occurs to me. And the other thing, of course, is, you know, we look back at the Venezuelan operation with Maduro. What was the key to the success of that? The key of that was we suborned the Venezuelan leadership. You know, we obviously made a deal with Delcy Rodriguez to give her boss the heave-ho while so she could take power. Is it possible we're trying to suborn some elements of the Iranian leadership and get them to basically break with the rest of the government and talk with us, maybe as a possible successor to the current arrangement with the new Ayatollah and President Pezeshkian? It's possible. I don't think that's going to work either, but I suspect that there are people from MI6 and CIA and Mossad spreading a lot of money around and trying to find somebody somewhere that we could ease into power as the new leadership. So I think there are probably several elements to that. I don't think it's going to go anywhere, though.
And let's take a look at the Iranian side, first of all, because there are certainly a lot in the Western media, in the U.S. media in particular, over the last 24 hours, both last night and today, that are saying, yeah, you know what? The reason why Iran's willing to talk right now is because President Trump put that kibosh, that 48-hour threat on them, and they realized he meant it, and at the end of that 48 hours, he was going to come in with a hammer, and lo and behold, is the way one person put it, now they're willing to talk on negotiations. Has enough bombs dropped on Iran, have enough of their planes been hit, boats been blown up, etc., that would make them say, okay, I know we said last week that there would be no ceasefire, we're going to hold this out, that maybe the pain has been enough that they are willing to come to the table?
Daniel, what are you talking about? Have you been listening to President Trump and the administration? We wiped them out in the first hours. We already won this war. It's all over. But the shooting, I guess. I mean, I don't think the Iranians seem to have gotten the memo that it's all over and that we've already won. So I don't think, I don't think they took that threat seriously. We were clearly hitting them with everything we have to try to knock out their leadership. I mean, after all, we killed the supreme leader, for crying out loud. And we're taking out what other elements of their leadership we can. We claim we've destroyed all of their launch capability, although that's clearly not true. So I don't know what it is in our threat that they would take seriously. Oh, well, they're going to get really tough with us now. I think we've been as tough with them as we could be in this opening round, and we thought we could knock them out at the beginning. That didn't happen. I don't think further threats impressed them at all.
Yeah, let me ask you, in terms of, really, to me, this whole conflict really comes down to a test of wills. Who has the ability to suffer longer? Is it the Iranian side, or is it the American/Israeli side? And I think between the Israeli and American side, you know, the two sides of that coin, I would imagine that the Israelis are able to suffer more than Trump. But the question is, can Trump suffer more economically and therefore politically at home, or can the Iranian side suffer? I wonder if you could just kind of give me from your background or knowledge on the diplomatic realm, how Iran effectively endured and suffered during the 8 years of the Iran-Iraq war that we helped the Iraqi side fight against them. What does that tell you about their willingness to suffer now after nearly 4 weeks?
Well, I think to ask the question is to answer. We know how many hundreds of thousands of men they lost during that war, including by chemical weapons that we supplied to Saddam Hussein. So clearly their level that they can take punishment is very, very high. The Israelis, as you say, is certainly higher than that of the United States. You know, at this point, it looks like the Iranians can strike Israel with impunity. I think it's just a matter of their strategy, where the Iranians decide which targets they want to strike and when. I mean, especially with their strike a few days ago at the Dimona nuclear plant without evidently targeting the reactor itself. I think they sent a calling card. They're saying, if we want to destroy that reactor, we can do it. That would probably be, you know, again, I don't know necessarily the physics of all this, but I think that would be something close to a dirty bomb effect if you blew up that reactor and presumably spread nuclear nuclear contamination all over Israel. I think the Iranians might do that if they felt they had to reach that point. But as you point out, what was Trump's threat? Reopen the Strait of Hormuz, which, by the way, he's also saying is still open. So I'm not quite exactly sure what his message is there. Yeah, that's where the economic damage is going to happen, especially if there is a stepping up of the attacks on energy infrastructure in both countries. You know, glass houses, the Gulf countries are a lot more vulnerable to that than the Iranians are. And that's true of things like desalination plants and other things, that the amount of punishment the Iranians can inflict that will have long-term consequences for the global economy is much higher than I think there's anything we can do to them short of dropping nuclear weapons on them.
And, you know, you mentioned that the implication that the Iranians have been all but defeated. And you mentioned over the weekend the strikes in Dimona and Arad, which I think caused 50 and 80 wounded in each. Miraculously, no civilians were killed in that. But then this is live information here from The New York Times. Talks about Iran war live updates. Tehran fires new barrages against Tel Aviv. So these are attacks in Tel Aviv. So it looks to me like every day the Iranian side is firing more missiles into Israel and to our allies in the region against our targets. Apparently, we are now up to around 240 wounded in action and 13 killed on the U.S. side. That keeps growing. Meanwhile, you have a lot of people in the United States. There was some on Fox News last night that kept saying, hey, you know what? 94% of all the missiles fired by Iran get intercepted and all of ours get through. So this is practically wrapped up. And yet there you saw the graphic evidence in a daylight on the third straight day of attacks. So what does that tell you about what President Trump is saying, that they're all but defeated?
Baghdad Bob lives, I guess. I mean, make these claims, and can anybody take them seriously? Look, you know that the Patriot and the THAAD systems aren't really all that great anyway, even when they have plenty of interceptors to launch. By all accounts, that's getting near the stage of exhaustion. I don't see how anybody can claim with a straight face that we are knocking down the vast majority of the weapons that they launch against Israel and against our forces. It looks like right now they're concentrating more on Israel than they are against our forces. And maybe that's just because the targets aren't there at the moment, or maybe this is a part of the planned calculation that they have. I have to honestly say, I don't know exactly what the Iranian endgame is. I mean, again, if they're refusing a ceasefire, maybe they're saying, sure, if you want to tell us something, we're willing to listen. But I don't think these are serious negotiations by any means. And I think they understand there is no serious negotiation with the United States, because whatever we tell them is going to be lies.
Well, that therein is your real problem. President Trump doesn't seem to understand that, because here's what he said on the negotiations recently.
Ministry says you're not telling the truth when it comes to productive conversations to end the war.
Well, they're going to have to get themselves better public relations people. We have had very, very strong talks. We'll see where they lead. We have major points of agreement. I would say almost all points of agreement. Perhaps that hasn't been conveyed. The communication, as you know, has been blown to pieces. They're unable to talk to each other. But we've had very strong talks. Mr. Witkoff and Mr. Kushner had them. They went, I would say, perfectly. I would say that if they carry through with that, it'll end that problem, that conflict. And I think it'll end it very, very substantially.
You know, and I just let's just take it at face value here. He says, again, Witkoff and Kushner, the claim is that's who's been conducting these secret negotiations that led President Trump allegedly to postpone his 48-hour deadline, which would have expired last night. And one would ask the reasonable question, since it was Witkoff in particular that led the negotiations you mentioned that preceded the start of this war, and that by all accounts, both from Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi as well as the Omani Foreign Minister, who said that enormous concessions had been made in that last session, the third session on the night of the 26th of February, and then we blew that off again, as you also pointed out. Why now would the Iranians hold any kind of credibility to the guy that just turned them upside down and then lied incredibly about it, at least according to the Iranian side, about what was discussed in the last round?
I'll tell you, Daniel, I hate to say it, but I think when you do clips to President Trump from now on, you're going to have to start doing the Jack Keane siren to introduce whatever he says, because it's just totally unbelievable. And yet you're right. I mean, Witkoff and Kushner, why would anybody, and not just the Iranians, but the Russians, talk to these two characters anymore? I mean, it's just patently clear that they're there in order to deceive, to obfuscate, and to basically set you up for an attack. And look, even if the Iranians are saying, sure, we're willing to listen to any proposals, if they're actually allowing these two guys to be the messengers, they really need to get their head examined. I mean, that they early on, the Russians said, we're not going to talk to Keith Kellogg anymore. And it seems to me that not only Moscow, but Tehran would be entirely within their rights to say, look, we're willing to listen, but not these two guys. We don't want to see their faces anymore. We don't want to hear their names. We don't care what they have to say. We know what their game is about. So I think that we're just getting into the realm of just not just delusion, but surrealism here when we talk about what the possible end of this war is going to be, aside from are calling it quits and crawling away with our tail between our legs before any more Americans get killed and before the world economy is destroyed any more than it is. I just don't see that happening right now, because I don't think Trump can do it. You know, he's got to be the winner all the time. He's got to have the plausible outcome. What common ground can there be when he's already said the only acceptable outcome of this war is unconditional surrender? And now I understand what he says one day, the next probably, you know, he just sort of dropped down the memory hole what he said yesterday or the day before. But that is, I think, inadvertently maybe a word of truth he did speak, that yes, the Iranians have to surrender. They have to prostrate themselves in front of the United States. They have to agree to regime change, whatever it's going to be. I don't think they're going to do that. Once that is on the table as the only possible outcome, what is there to talk about anymore?
Well, and that leads to the question is, what is the outcome we desire? Because it could well be that we, by saying unconditional surrender before and not explicitly taking that off the table, though it has modified several times since then, and by having C. Witkoff, one may reasonably ask the question, are we trying to set up a situation where negotiations fail again, ostensibly? And then what is the purpose of that? Now, this channel, by the way, we formed it, Gary and I, because we were sick and tired of mainstream media, because we only got one view and it was heavily, heavily slanted. That's only gotten worse since we started this channel. And we are going to remain unintimidated and uncompromised to bring the truth. But it's important from time to time to show what is being said there, because this is what a majority numerically of the American public hear. Here's how the negotiations, despite what you and I have been talking about, which is an accurate assessment, here is what Britt Hume, who used to be a respected journalist at Fox News, says about these negotiations.
It's true that there's some negotiations going on. The question that faces the administration, of course, is whether whoever they're talking to is really in charge. You know, there are all kinds of reports about dissension within the ranks in Iran. Statements get put out and retracted and so on. So that's question number one. And then, of course, question number two, obviously, is whether whatever deal can be struck is going to satisfy the president and indeed our Israeli allies. So there's some, you know, this is one of these situations where militarily we've pretty well won this.
Oh, yeah, man. Militarily, this deal's off the table already. We're done. And you see, whether they use the words or not, his description is exactly what you said a second ago. It is still, abject surrender on the Iranian side. So we'll listen to what they say, but it has to satisfy President Trump. It has to satisfy Benjamin Netanyahu. And yet militarily, I just showed you the scenes from bombing today and over the weekend. Where is the surrender on the Iranian side? And with that, the statement here, this seems to me, this is what I really like your view on. We're setting ourselves up and the population of America, because we want to just have a mentality. This is what we want to be true. So we're just going to say it. And so that people think it is. And that works for a while. It's even worked for 25 days. But Jim, that there's a time clock on that one. It's going to run out. And at some point, you're not going to be able to hide the fact that we're not winning. And that, in fact, that strait stays closed to our traffic. And the price of oil will probably after this Friday is going to probably start going back up again. Where is this going to lead?
Well, I think it's a combination of two things there. One is what Trump said earlier in that clip you had earlier about the Iranians need better PR. Well, absolutely right. I mean, with the United States, the government and its satellites and the media control world opinion to a great extent. I mean, we saw this during we've seen this all along for 4 years during the Ukraine war, that apparently they think they can win a war with PR, whereas the situation on the ground might be very, very different. So there's that. And I think, Daniel, I think we have to take into account the fact there are an awful lot of people out there who buy this. I mean, they watch Fox News or whichever channel it is, and they say, well, we say we're winning, so we must be winning, just like the Ukrainians have been winning for the last 4 years. At some point, reality is going to catch up with you. That's one reason I think that what this little roller coaster we've seen the last couple of days, first 48 hours, and then we're going to pound the stuffing out of you. Oh, now we're negotiating. The price of oil drops for about 10 bucks. And I'm sure somebody somewhere made an awful lot of money on that in anticipation that that would happen. And then now it's a 5-day deadline for these supposed negotiations to take place. The first thing I thought of is, yeah, isn't that about the time that these Marines are supposed to show up and be ready to be deployed to do whatever it is he has in mind? I think that's the game plan here. I think this is still a question that somehow we think if we just, you know, have this silver bullet, you know, the equivalent of all the, you know, Wunderwaffen that the Ukrainians keep saying they're going to have, that somehow we can have a lightning strike that really puts them out of business the way we claimed that we did in the first in the opening phase of this war that clearly didn't happen. I don't take anything these people say at face value. We've been lied to so many times, and I just look at it in terms of what's their tactical play here. What are they trying to accomplish by spinning these stories, and what is the reality on the ground that they hope to accomplish by using the propaganda cover?
Well, that is a question worth asking. I'm not sure we're going to get the answer to that, but you know, whatever they may intend, I mean, there is going to come a point, and this 5-day thing, it's got another short-term clock. President Trump put himself in a huge bind by saying 48 hours at the exact moment I said this, which would have been 7:44 p.m. last night, and now he's extended it about to 5 days. Okay, well, that still puts you at Friday. That's still a deadline that's rolling up pretty quick, and you're going to have to do something then, too. You can, I don't know, you can extend it again or something, but here's the problem, especially if it's what you suggested here, that's going to be exposed pretty quickly if it doesn't work. Now, one other, and we are going to give you a warning here, I don't want you to get PTSD, but Brother Jack Keane seems to agree with Britt Hume that we're winning.
There is no doubt in the minds of the military commanders of the IDF and the military commander, Admiral Bradley Cooper, of the Central Command, our military forces that are doing the striking against Iran, that we would accomplish these military goals, to include opening of the Straits of Hormuz. We would force that opening and keep it opening. But what's taking place here is, can, through diplomacy, can we accomplish the same end states that we're attempting to achieve through obviously attacking Iran? And that is, denude them of their ballistic missile capability, drones capability, of anything that where they can sustain attacks, take away their nuclear capability completely, and take away their future capability as well, and obviously open the Straits of Hormuz.
Yep.
Can we achieve that through diplomacy? I'm highly skeptical. Why? Because this is a regime for 47 years. They are pathological liars.
Right.
And they're cheaters.
I'm sorry, who are the pathological liars again? I may have misunderstood that last part there. But look, this is just, I just wonder how long this fiction can go on. And you have historical precedents here. How long do you think this kind of fiction can sustain if you don't see it manufactured on the ground? And I'm going to talk about the potential ground force here in just a second, but just categorically, how long can you go on being Baghdad Bob, as you said a second ago, if you didn't translate into anything else, if that strait doesn't open up and the missiles do keep falling?
I don't think we know the answer to that. I'm trying to think of a historical parallel where things were this destructive of the global economy and potentially of the domestic U.S. economy. I don't know that there's a parallel where you could say, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 10 weeks, make a prediction like that. I think there's just too many variables here. I mean, unless, as I said earlier, we can suborn the Iranians domestically, or unless the Russians and the Chinese yank the rug out from the Iranians, it looks to me like they're in this for the long haul, that they've gained this out, and that, as we talked about earlier, they can take a lot more punishment than probably even the Israelis can, and certainly longer than the American consumer can, and certainly longer than President Trump can in terms of the political pickle he's gotten himself into. I can't help but wondering, by the way, why are these deadlines always occurring on Fridays? I just have this sense that there's this little cycle that's building up now where we're going to make various enunciations on Friday, and when just in time for the markets to close, and then something big will happen on Monday, and somebody somewhere is making a killing every time we go through this cycle. I mean, we're talking about, you know, a level of corruption that would make Hunter Biden blush, but somebody's making a lot of money on this in the meantime.